On today's episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer entitled Doppelgangland, we realized that maybe this on today's episode thing wasn't as well thought out as we thought, because they're really hard to come up with. And, you know, to be honest, I've run out of them. I'm Tavia.
I'm James.
This is
What the Hell Mouth. It sounds like you're typing or there's heavy rain outside.
I'm literally swear I'm not doing. I can see.
It's so weird.
But I will grab some lotion.
So you couldn't hear me. Hey guys, we're starting with me saying it sounds like that's going on. Earlier, TC in the Zoom record was trying to figure out his sound. And how you angled it up, all I could see was your lotion. And I was like, do you want me? You're like flexing of like, look at this big ass thing of lotion I have.
It is really big. How many ounces is it? Did it tell you?
It's giant ounces.
21 fluid ounces for very dry and rough skin, which I have. I also have several types of lotions.
I only have rough skin one place. Ayo!
All the masturbating.
Oh, okay. So let's get into the thick of before we get into the thick of things, I've been doing something and I want your thoughts, or at least I want to try to do this.
Okay.
I want to start wearing a purity ring. So then I seem like a forbidden object to Nicole, or I guess not object, like a forbidden something that is a human, a forbidden human, I guess. A forbidden pleasure, but I'm like, no, purity ring. You ain't getting this.
Are you still going to be having sex?
Like once she is like, come on. And I'll be like, ooh, purity ring off. And then she's like, yes, I obtained this. Kind of like unlocking a trophy in 2K.
So you're appropriating the culture of the pure.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Because I need
that's
to
like
do
a white man.
Because appropriating, no one appropriates the culture of the pure.
I used to be pure.
Yeah, because you were only pure because you were born.
That, first of all, is neither here nor there.
But I've also been thinking of becoming. This is hard to say. I just told Nicole. I said, you want to know what? I should become a born-again virgin so you can take my virginity. And then
what
I just keep doing that. So Nicole is just constantly just racking up virginities. Thoughts.
And then, like, the next virgin she sleeps with could be like, oh, how many virgins have you slept with? And she'll be like 10, but then it'll be 11, but it'll still be you. And
yeah.
That's beautiful.
Exactly.
Sounds like a huge waste of time, and actually it doesn't even seem like it means anything, but if that would fulfill you, I encourage you.
It's just something fun to do, I guess.
Yeah, like there's nothing else to do. Why not?
And it also, so Nicole famously, this was a thing she did. Nicole's like, oh, I don't want to go skiing. They were going to this mountain outing to go skiing and all of this weird stuff. And we were in the car and her grandmother, after Nicole had told me like she doesn't want to go skiing, her grandmother said, oh, you probably shouldn't be going skiing because of your bad back. Like Nicole has like half a metal spine. And then I looked over at Nicole and I saw her face kind of change after her grandmother said that. And I leaned in and I said, you totally want to go skiing now out of spite for your grandmother because she told you you shouldn't go. And then she looked at me and she said, yeah, I actually do. And so I think if I wear a purity ring, she's going to say, wow, it's kind of like going to a museum. You want to touch that otter that's been taxidermied, see how an otter feels. I'm that otter.
Isn't my experience with a purity ring. When I had a purity ring, I was in class one time and this boy pointed to my finger and he said, "What's that mean?" And I was like, "It just means I'm not having sex till marriage." And he said to me, "Your pussy must be like a basement. You must got bats in your shit." So no, that's not what I would.
But Nicole follows the hashtag bat on Instagram. So that actually might work out in my favor.
Like if your dick is like bats and shit. Or I'm sorry, if your dick is like a basement and got bats and shit in it.
Yeah, she might be like, "Let's see if we can squeeze some bats out of this." Nicole can't hear your audio, so is probably wondering, why are they talking about bats?
Do you think it would be exponentially more... I think it would be more painful for you to push a bat out than for me.
Yeah, probably.
A lot less space. Not that like I'm just like cavernous or anything. It is not a basement, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, I do finger my pee hole, so it's loosened.
I wish I could hang up.
I also do push bats out of it, so that's a thing. And I go online and I search, how do I get kidney stones? And I'm just pushing them out left and right.
So Doppelgangland is about, if we go back to the episode, I'm not even going to, don't tell me, I'm just going to remember the name of that episode, The Wish.
Yes.
So in that episode, obviously Cordelia wishes that Buffy Summers had never come to Sunnydale. Fast forward to Doppelgangland, Anya, who was the vengeance demon that helped Cordelia, is trying to get her pendant back so that she can go back to being a demon. Because when she messed up, when they broke her pendant in The Wish, she became just a normal old 17-year-old, I guess. I guess that's how magic was. I don't know. So she's working with Willow to get it figured out. And Willow only half does the spell because it ends up being like real bad and demonic. So then the Willow from The Wish ends up being in the same universe as this Willow, and hilarity ensues. But at the same time, normal Sunnydale Willow, not ours, she doesn't belong to us, women don't belong to you. Normal Sunnydale Willow is trying to find herself, so these things, just wackiness left and right.
I
should get back to writing summaries, because that was pretty bad.
No, that was very good.
That was actually probably the best one I've ever done.
Yeah, and that was off the cuff.
I was just being modest.
And it even like wrapped up nice at the end?
See, now you're clicking, oh my goodness.
Wait, I'm clicking now?
Yeah, it sounds like, the way I was going to explain it was so stupid. Yeah, you're just staticky. I was going to be like, it sounds like you're talking, but a Rubik's Cube. I don't know why that would be how I explained it.
Oh, yeah, I guess like when you slide, it does make clickings, but...
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say...
But also, the pieces of your voice are not connected.
Oh, okay,
you know,
yeah, that's good.
I am entirely sober.
Or I'm talking like a BitTorrent, you know?
Yes.
Exactly.
You get me. We're here. Do you see me?
Yes, I do. You don't see me, though.
I think that your eyes are about here, yeah.
They're very far away from the screen, though.
Oh.
I'm in that corner again like I was last record.
Last record.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some notes.
This episode was fantastic.
This is probably one of the episodes where I had the hardest. Every time I'd write down my favorite quote, I'd be like, oh, wait, no, that's so much better.
I will agree because I have I was like, fuck, I'm going to have so many just quotes on these notes.
It's just they really put all of the writing that they should have put into all of season 3. They said, no, we're just going to put it in this episode.
Let's just go through all our quotes.
I'm sorry, I didn't write them all down. Hold on. I'll just pull up quotes on IMDb.
Well, my first quote is not a good one. It's just a character thing. So Buffy and Willow in the beginning, Buffy is...
Well, I hope it's the one.
They're hanging out, just chillaxing on the quad of Sunnydale High. Willow, out in the open, is just levitating a pencil and spinning it around. And then also out in the open, Buffy, in day clothes, is doing crunches. And those are
how musty she's going to be in her next class? That would piss me off so much. Like, I know she went to class musty as hell.
Oh, but was that before or after? I assumed it was after school because what they were doing.
I figured it was like her lunch break. Because I was going to be like, because there were so many other kids there. But then I guess we never see anyone else but them. So it could be after school. It could be before school. You never know.
Yeah. But the quote was, Willow goes, Why do you have to work out? Aren't you just naturally buff? Buff. And I'm like, she's not a child. They're making her talk like a 3-year-old. She's 18.
I liked, first of all, my first note, the sit-ups that she was doing, those wouldn't do anything. Those were horrible. Whether they were sit-ups or crunches, she is doing nothing for her core. I guess Sarah Michelle Gellar said, I'll do the action. I'm not going to sit here and work out.
Those little crunches, I think people do those.
I don't see how they would do anything.
It's just to, like, work. I think it mainly works the, like, upper ab.
Yeah, but she couldn't have been bending any further than, like, maybe her sternum.
Yeah, but she is also such a tiny person.
Her core was not engaged, and I'm not willing to argue with you.
She should have just been planking.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it. That'll stop time for you, too. The one where Buffy is talking about Faith, and she's like, I know she won't be on the cover of Vanity Fair. That's too witty to be something someone would actually say, but it's so good. So good.
Oh, wait. Maybe I might not know what Vanity Fair is.
It's a magazine.
Okay.
Wait, Buffy says Sanity Fair.
Oh, I thought you just said through the headphones and the internet phone call, it sounds like you're just saying
Vanity Fair.
I was like, wait, why is that witty? And then people will listen back to this and be like, what does James not get about this?
Oh, so when the principal is like, oh, you guys are gonna, I want you two to come together. And Willow goes, you want us to breed? Also a great line.
I want to say something about that scene. This show is so white that they aren't even going to do the generically racist thing and put a black man as a basketball player. It's so dumb. Like, so white. I think there wasn't even a single person of color in this entire episode.
There was. There was that black guy with the dreads at the Bronx.
Oh, yes.
Scene, sitting next to Oz on the stage for some reason.
Oh, wait, no, there was also the one vampire.
I don't think he was black, though.
Oh, the show is also just so dark again.
It was so dark that all the actors are unfortunately in such like low casting that it looks like blackface.
One of my favorite things is right after she meets with the principal who just weasel face, Willow goes and is talking to Buffy and she's like, oh man, Snyder assumes everyone's time is his. And then Giles pops out of his office and says, hey, Willow, can you come over to my PC? I need you to do this and that. And then she goes, of course. It was just a very nice juxtaposition of showing her that she's all reliable.
When they're doing the Slayer training thing, Wesley and Faith, if he had just taken off the sweater vest and maybe had on just a t-shirt, it might have, like, he comes in and he's like breathing heavy and talking about how he needs like defibrillators. And it's like, we have on a full length shirt, which I assume has an undershirt on under it, and also a sweater vest.
Yeah, I would like to flash forward just a little bit because we're on Wesley. When he screams, it reminded me a lot of, did you have stats in your school? I think we've even had this conversation. What did students talking about tough stuff?
No.
It was pretty much
students against drunk driving.
So it might have been similar where these teens create skits because they're all theater kids and play them out to like do moral stories of how you shouldn't drink, do drugs or have sex in high school. And
that sounds horrible. That sounds so uncomfortable.
So the philosophy with stats was to pretty much have half goody-goody students and then also half students who have experienced this stuff so they can actually have a conversation of like, no, you shouldn't actually do this because I have and regret doing that. Giles and Wesley are that dynamic. Of Wesley's this goody-goody, oh my, never, I would never do that. And then Giles is this badass who's like, I have done this. I know how to handle this. And just please do as I say because I know what will happen.
It just occurred to me that maybe SAD was so SAD with students against drunk driving And maybe it wasn't like a great idea for them to have. Like the biggest thing they did, the two biggest things they did were around prom season. They would find a car, just destroy the car, and then put it in the parking lot and be like, this could be you on prom night. Which, like, I get it, I guess. Not the way I would teach them kids. And then also, maybe like halfway through the year, they would like dress up. One student would dress, like the tallest student in SAD that year, would dress up as a Grim Reaper and just over the course of the day collect students that were also in SAD from whatever class they were in that period. And then the student would just be dead for the rest of the day. And then they would like tie a piece of paper that was in the shape of a, what are they called? The tombstone on their chest with like how they died. And then also put on like gray makeup all over their face and sometimes some blood. And looking back on that, not a great thing for a high school to do.
Our school did the crumpled up car thing, but that Grim Reaper thing, that's nuts.
Why were they doing that? But I went to one SAD meeting one time, and then I got to be one of the students.
Hell yeah.
But it was, I just got to be out of class for the rest of the day. I don't think that was like one of the stipulations. I just never went back to class after they did my makeup. When Willow, when Faith gets her new place and she's jumping on the bed and the mayor's like, hey, no shoes on the bed. I also hate shoes on the bed. And I don't know if that happens in real life. And I guess I should ask you, because I only ever see it on TV and I only ever see white people doing it.
I also hate shoes anywhere besides like in front of the doorway.
Front door. Yeah. Does Nicole wear shoes in the house?
Oh, no. But okay, I believe my old roommate, MC Deep, Tyler Bergquist, I believe I've seen him fall asleep in his bed with shoes on. So.
Oh, I hate it. But I also can't wear like my look. So like, you know how like you spend a whole day, like you go to work and you come home. Do you get in your bed with those clothes on?
No.
Okay, same. But also, like, let's say I have my pajamas, like, I have on some shorts and a t-shirt, and I go check the mail. Because the outside air has touched me, I now can't get back into bed with those clothes on.
Now I am like that, which you have brought this up many times on the show. Because
very hard
of,
for me.
Like, COVID and stuff, we've been...
Oh, I've been like that for so long.
Yeah.
Outside air has always been dangerous. It's just not safe. And now, look, I wasn't wrong. See? I'm not crazy. I'm so far fucking ahead. You guys got to catch up. I'm not crazy.
And
anyway.
And eventually, guys, you can't put your hands on food anymore. I was ahead of the times on that. Eat with utensils, okay?
Yeah, I guess. I guess I'll give you that.
Yeah, you better. If you are saying that, oh, everyone should immediately strip down and take a shower after every time they even just check the mail, I should also be correct. And hey, guys, eat without your hands. Use a utensil.
And shower anytime you leave your house. Even if, let's say you step out the house because you're packing. Let's say you have an apartment like mine where like sometimes your neighbors grab your package and they leave it at your front door, which is still inside technically, but you've stepped into the outside communal hallway. You got to take a shower. Don't get back in bed. Don't get in bed with outside on you.
Well,
outside is dangerous.
At what time are you getting back into bed?
I'm heavily depressed. I mostly stay in bed, literally.
Because that I also have a problem with.
My daily routine is like I wake up at like 6 a.m. I go for a bike ride. I come back in. I shower. Now, I shower because once I've taken a bike, I'm musty now. So, of course, I have to shower.
Yeah.
That's a necessary shower. I make some breakfast. So then by then it's probably like, let's say if I bike from say 6:30 to 7, no, then I probably shower till 7:15. Then I go back to sleep until 10 a.m. when my alarm actually goes off. At which point I see Draco and make myself some breakfast. But then I'm sleepy from the breakfast I made. So I sleep until about 1 or 2 p.m. Then I wake up and I have my lunch. And then I nap until 4 p.m. or 4:30 p.m. where I wake up and I waitlist until about 6 p.m. I take another shower because I just waitlist and I'm musty again. And then let's see, 6 to 6:15. My late shower is usually about 30 minutes because then I have to scrub all the sweat off. And then I get back in bed and play 2K until 10 p.m., Sometimes I forget to eat a third meal, or I forget to eat, like if I miss my lunch, I just miss my lunch. A couple of days this week, I only ate one time, but mostly, Ashley.
Do you shower after 2K?
No.
Okay, unless, okay.
So, like, it depends. Like, if it's too hot and I'm too sweaty, sometimes if it's too muggy and I feel like the sweat starts to make me feel sick, I'll shower. Or if I poop and I feel like sometimes I have to shower because I pooped. So God forbid it's a day where my stomach hurts and I poop like four times because I'm going to shower each time.
Is it because of the air or is it because like you think your butt is gross?
Just kind of all of them. If I'm just in the house, it's never the air. It's either because I'm sweaty and I want to shower or because I'm freshly pooped and now I need to shower again. But
okay.
Anytime I go outside, regardless of what I'm going outside for, I do have to shower when I come back in.
And regardless, hey, it's a potato chip. You got to eat that with a fork.
Okay.
We gotta rush through notes now.
When doppelganger Willow comes and she, the first lady she sees, I too hiss at old women when they ask me for help.
You got to. I want to hear Frank hiss because he's never done it.
I don't know if Draco's actually ever hissed. He opens his mouth sometimes like he's about to and his ears will like fall back, but then the noise doesn't, like he's broken. He's like, I don't know. I don't like what I'm feeling, but I don't know how to describe it.
Guys, the best cats are broken cats.
I was going to say the same about people, but that's super depressing. The artist that was singing at the Bronze was really bad. It was real bad.
The lyrics were bad, but I enjoyed the music.
There's a chair in my head, and I'm in that chair, and it's in my head, and I'm there.
And now my beautiful mouth is replaced with a key. Why would you call your beautiful mouth?
I'm sorry. I was trying to make a joke about sucking dick, but the dick would have been the key and her mouth would have been the keyhole. So my whole joke is unraveling. When Willow is, bad Willow, is in the Bronze, she has Percy in a chokehold. She is choking him. I understand she's attacking him, but he goes to just sock her in the face. And I was like, that still doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
When Willow and Oz is his name, when yeah. they're talking about his gig that she missed, she's like, oh, well, it seems like you don't want to go. And then he says, well, I call that radical interpretation of the text. And I'm like, that's dope.
That was a good line. Willow, Buffy is a much better friend than Xander. She's such a much better friend because when they first see Willow and she's in the leather, first of all, that holy Godzilla Willow line, also a good line. But they see each other, and Willow just did this to Buffy, and they think it's regular Willow that she doesn't like her. And I want to pause there. If a friend that I had, like, had a, like, not even an argument with, just, like, we had a disagreement about something that, like, was mostly just them projecting their emotions, and then they came back, and they were like, I don't like you. We would have never gotten any further in the conversation because I would have gone home, grabbed a bottle of alcohol from the fridge and all of the pills I had left over and killed myself. But... But Buffy is like, hey, you know, I'm really sorry. You know, I just, you know, I know we had that argument. Willow's like, fuck off. And then Xander's just like, damn, I hate you. He's such a bad friend. Willow didn't even say anything bad to Xander. He's just like, damn, I don't like you either.
Maybe because he's like, oh, since Buffy is mad at you, I'm mad at you.
And damn, he was just trying to smash. But then I guess he was also trying to smash Buffy. But then I guess also Cordelia, and then I guess, you know what, just all the women. It's fine, Xander. It's fine. Fine.
Xander, I'm turning around on him. I'm kidding. He does have one good line, though. When they find out that Willow is alive and there are two Willows, they're like, Giles, explain this. And he's just like, well, you see, like, something strange is happening. And to be honest, It just seems really strange to me. And then Xander goes, can you believe the Watcher Council let this one go? And that was good.
The finger breaking. So there's a scene where Bad Willow is attacked by vampires the mayor sent to kill Buffy and all of their, and the Scooby Gang. And they catch Bad Willow and she's like, oh, who do you work for? And the vampire's like, I'm not telling you. So she takes one of his fingers and just bends it back and it breaks. And he lets out the saddest scream I've ever heard. And he's like, okay, we work for the mayor. And then she breaks another one of his fingers. And she's like, who do you work for? And he's like, we work for you. But the thing is, like, he wouldn't have known to say that. That is evil. That's evil.
She's badass.
He didn't even know. He didn't know any better.
The nickname Old Reliable, she says that's not a sexy name. It is.
I would hate that, but like, I wouldn't want to be called Old Reliable. Like, what if what if you weren't dating Nicole and like you had like a friend with benefits type where you guys were cool, but like you really only talked to have sex and you only talked every few months. And then you found out they had you saved in their phone as like, Old Reliable dick.
I'd feel confident with that.
Yeah, as I explained it, I was like, actually, no, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's saying like, oh, wow, when I need it, like this person is there to give it.
But I will say I see this from both sides of the spectrum, because if you had asked me a year and a half ago if I wanted to be saved as Old Reliable pussy on somebody's phone, I would have been like, excuse me? So mad. Oh, man, my standards have really lowered these days.
I think if one or a couple people are calling you that, then it's fine. But if an entire group, then it's like kind of is sad.
Yeah, but now they don't think so great of you.
Because then it's instead of like, oh, this is someone I'm comfortable with there and they always come through, opposed to like, hey, you can just put anything in this individual and they're good. They're okay with it.
Even still, though, because if everybody was like, oh, you know, I just call him up for dick, then I'd start to be like, guys, I sometimes like to go out to dinner. Maybe like, so take that dick out. And I'd be like, okay. Oh, Reliable. Here I come.
I'd still be fine with it. Except, no, actually, I wouldn't be, because now I have this purity ring.
Okay. when all the vampires bust in and Angel and Oz are on the stage talking, and Oz is like, go get Buffy. Do it now. Angel literally just walks the fuck off, and it's like he's not covert. And also, they are on the stage, which is the focal point of the building, under several spotlights. How did no one see him moving?
He's in the shadows, though. Remember, he's vampire.
Quite literally, he was not in the shadows. There were there were like seven lights.
Speaking on just people not being able to detect things, the Slayer can sense vampires. She is seeing Willow, vampire Willow, and does not bat an eye.
But then also the vampire can't tell that Willow is all of a sudden a human.
Yeah,
say it like that.
It's dumb.
A real oversight and a great episode. The scene when they're in the Bronze and Allison Hannigan is like, Oz is like, Willow, you don't want to do this? And she's like, I don't, but I'm so good at it. Allison Hannigan was acting more.
Yeah.
That was some Sarah Michelle Gellar level acting.
Are her as our timeline Willow in Vampire Willow's outfit, even that acting of like, oh, she's confident in this as an actress, but then when she has to switch the role into our timeline Willow, she's walking like Frank does when he has that bee costume on. She's so good at it. She looks uncomfortable and is acting so well.
She
two
did
thumbs
a great
up.
Job. Four thumbs. So when Willow is like, oh, you guys go ahead to the Bronze, they absolutely shouldn't have left her alone. They should not have left her alone. Just common sense. But I will say, I bet in the 90s, when both Willows were on the screen at the same time, everybody was like, oh my God. I bet those were like crazy graphics. Much better than the pencil at the beginning.
The pencil I thought was fine. I knew you were going to comment on it.
Yeah. I'm glad you knew. I'm glad. For me, eye to eye. The monologue where real Willow is in the Bronze and she's like, oh, she bored me. She, blah, blah, I don't care. That bored me. Now I'm bored. I'm bored now. Look at me. Look what you did.
So when Cordelia comes in and is like, oh, Wesley, are you here? I'm here for some books. They have a clock in the background and it is 9:15 p.m. How are they getting into this school?
Maybe they just never leave.
It has to be that.
Her dress, she has on the most homecoming dress I've ever. That you could wear that nowhere but homecoming. I don't know where else she would be wearing that. That is a like freshman or sophomore year homecoming dress if I've ever seen one.
And you've seen them.
I have seen them. I went to homecoming my freshman year. That was it though. I think it was sophomore year. Freshman.
I only went I think, freshman. And then the year after, a spouse and I went to not the homecoming dance, but just homecoming.
Spouse? You were in high school.
Well, no, it was after.
Me and my life partner went to homecoming. Yeah, you didn't have a spouse, though.
Nicole brought this up as well. I've just come to terms with I use spouse no matter, like, yeah, okay. An ex-girlfriend and mine went to homecoming the year after I graduated.
I'm very surprised Wesley didn't stake Willow. That seemed like something he would do.
Oh, yeah. He was scared, though.
Yeah. Could you imagine being one of the, like, regular people that doesn't know about vampires at the Bronx that night?
I don't understand this. Like,
the PTSD that they're going to experience, like, they're not going to be okay.
And they're going to have to, they'll never be able to go to the Bronze again.
I certainly wouldn't. I'd be like, that's not, this isn't, I don't want to go, but thanks, guys.
They saw a woman murder another woman by biting her.
And also, too, as well, I probably wouldn't go to any clubs because then that would just be my fear. I'd be like, no, I'm going to go to a club. And then a lesbian is going to bite another woman, and then maybe also, and then some people are going to turn into dust. And
yeah, that's the thing. Like, how do you write that out of your mind? I saw someone get dusted, and not in the, you know, snorting angel dust terms.
I'm glad when Willow punches Anya, she says ow, because TV shows don't talk about how punching things hurt.
It does.
They just do it, and they're just like, and then they go on about, they recover immediately, and they go on about their business.
I once punched a shark in the nose, and that hurt, because I accidentally punched its teeth.
Why would you punch a shark?
It was a street shark, and we were in a duel together.
I don't understand this story. Anything I've ever punched has hurt and or broken my hand, so.
Damn.
One of them throws a vampire into, like, a glass case. And below the vampire, when it breaks, is a bunch of pastries. And I thought to myself, who would go to the bar and say, hey, can I get a cruller? Why are they selling pastries at the Bronze?
See, I had a completely different reaction to that. I said, no, all the pastries.
As someone that one time went to a bar and had deviled eggs, I'm really picky about my bar food. Yeah, It was an oversight.
You get nachos.
Yeah.
Chicken fingers.
French fries, chicken wings.
And maybe pizza?
Maybe pizza. I was also going to say maybe pizza, but then I was like, ugh.
It depends.
Maybe a burger.
Yeah.
If it's like a bar and grill, I would say get a burger. If not, they're too dry, and they're probably sliders.
If it looks like they're lenient on if you can smoke cigarettes in the bar, don't get a pizza or a burger. But if it looks clean and homely, get a burger, get a pizza. Hey, chop up that burger, throw it on the pizza.
Do not get tacos at a bar unless it's like you're like at a bar where like they should be serving. If it's a bar and grill, you really got to play it by ear.
Yeah.
But if you're just at like a bar specifically or a club, if you're at a club and they're serving food, actually leave.
What about a strip club? Can I eat there?
I don't go to strip clubs, but I've heard the food is very good.
All right.
I don't like people dancing on or near me. It makes me really anxious.
I've never been to one.
Me neither, but I just know I wouldn't like it.
I almost went in Las Vegas, but I was like, nah, let's not do that.
I've never been to Vegas. We should take a road trip when this is over. Let's travel somewhere.
Let's go to Vegas. I really enjoy Vegas.
Let's go to Vegas. I have a friend in Vegas that I've never like met in person, so I've been thinking about going there. Let's fucking do it. If I were Anya at the end of the episode, I simply would not have helped him.
Yeah. But I think she thinks she's getting her necklace back, right?
No, she's just helping them because I guess they told her to.
Oh, that's weird. And then this episode ends with Willow saying, like, I don't want to go out tonight. And then dude who is supposed to be getting tutored by her because evil Willow choked him, he comes up and is like, I did all the work that you requested of me. And then she's like, you want to know what? Does 9 o'clock sound good? Who starts their night at 9 o'clock? Like in high school?
Yeah, because their curfew has to be. I mean, realistically, probably curfew is. But they're all 18, so it's fine.
But still, even as an adult, I wouldn't say like, hey guys, let's everyone meet up around 9, because that gives me like
it's a Friday. It's Friday, and they're 18. Why not 9 o'clock?
If friends told me, hey, we're going to start the party at 9, I'd say, I'll see you guys on Monday.
Is it cool if I come pregame, and then I head out before the party starts.
Yeah.
Sometimes I come help set up. I don't know. Like, I used to enjoy a late night thing, but now that I've been out of it for so long, since like the world shut down, I can't imagine it. I cannot imagine, like, when the world opens back up, somebody being like, hey, you want to meet at the club at 11? They're like, no, bitch, I go to bed at 4 p.m. I'm, again, very depressed.
No, you go to bed at 10 a.m., 4 p.m., 6 p.m., 8 p.m., and then, what, 3 a.m.?
No, at midnight, I settle down for my final rest until 6 a.m. when I wake up again, because I just can't sleep anymore.
Oh. Yeah, because you've slept so much.
Depression.
Okay. We gotta get you undepressed.
You gotta get me a job so I can get a therapist, so I can get a psychotherapist, so I can get some antidepressants.
I have a bottle of antidepressants that I don't use. You want them?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
They're Cymbalta. Take them. They'll make you really sleepy.
I'm already really sleepy.
Except the best orgasms I've ever had were on Cymbalta, because I think I've talked about this on this show before. It made me yawn so much. So I was like, oh, there must not be enough oxygen circulating through my body. So it was like I was getting autoerotic asphyxiated, but through medication.
Which is probably really good if you, why did I say good like that? Which is probably really good if that's a kink of yours. But for me, I would just be yawning a lot. Oh, and then yawning makes me teary-eyed, and because I'm so depressed, every time I yawn and I get teary-eyed, I want to cry.
All right, TC, what you got to plug? Because we got to wrap it up.
Follow me on Twitter at Tavia_CW, because they don't let you put a period. I'm going to complain about it every time until they change that stupid rule. Or on Instagram at Tavia.CW, or if you want to follow my transition, follow me at Transitioning with TC. Both of those are on Instagram. That's about all I got.
Yeah. Okay, guys, go over to MLMpod.com to find out information about the podcast that you can listen to wherever you're listening to this right now. But things like Mostly Speakin' Sentai, which TC has been on, This Movie's Gay, which TC has been on, and Hit It and Crit It, which TC will never be on, because that's Dungeons and Dragons. And
it's true.
What did you think it was? It was a title of one of the
Dice and Improv.
Yeah, Dice and Improv. That's what it is. Then you can also go listen to my music on Spotify, Apple, wherever. If you have a Tidal account, please, before you go to bed, just loop Marsh, Land, Monster. If you loop that on Tidal, because holy crap, does Tidal pay you very well per stream, whereas Spotify doesn't. But it's Marshland Monster, Podcast Raps, The Pro Verses. Also, I have the instrumentals of that album if you're like, oh, these beats are good, but don't like this rap shit. The beats are for you then. And then finally, go over to patreon.com/MLMpod. MLMpod. I got all jumble mouthed. And you can get an exclusive podcast every single Friday, such as Talking About Beyblade. That's me going over every episode of season one of Beyblade. Then we also have Engage with Nicolas Cage. That's Nicole and I watching Nicolas Cage movies. And the Toku Reading Corner, where Nicole reads tokusatsu fan fiction. And if you are a $10 patron, you get a shout out on every single show that we do in the free feed. So we would like to shout out, thank you so much to Steve F., Eric Berry of Ranger Command Power Hour, who now when I write his name, I just do EBORCPH instead of writing out Eric Berry of Ranger Command Power Hour, because I have now been writing it many times every single week. The Waz, Orion, and Two Grapes. And that's all I got today.
All right, well, I've been Tavia.
And I've been James.
And this has been
What the Hell Mouth.
You literally said it after I said, like, this time it wasn't even we overlapped. It was like, what the hell mouth? What the hell mouth?
Oh, no, on mine, we said it at the same time.
No.
No, like, I can see the waveform. We said it at the same time. I think it's
technology.
Because of the it's the delay.
Technology is crazy.
Chia, okay, so because we're not recording, Zoom's not recording how we thought it would record, we should just do it through Google Voice or Google Video Chat, because
Hangout.
It sounds so much better and there's barely any delay.
Yeah, that's fine.
All righty. Guys, you just heard exclusive next episode through Hangouts. Ugh!
Exclusive.
All right, guys. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Marshland Media production, produced by James McCullum. For more content, please visit mlmpod.com. To support our network and have access to exclusive podcasts, head over to patreon.com/mlmpod and sign up today.